Let me invite you to turn in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. When people think of the book of Joshua, when they think of Joshua's name, this is what they think of. Chapter 6, they think of this event, and that's what we're looking at. This is really at the beginning of the book, but in a way it's kind of the climax. It's like the big picture, the big idea that people get from this book, and it's the last message that we're going to look at in our series, Advance. Looking at advancing the kingdom of God. And we see God advancing His work through the Israelites. And the takeaway for you is I want you to leave this morning knowing that we're going to win God's way. Winning God's way. There's all kind of ways to win. There's all kind of ways to accomplish a task. In fact, even drawing a crowd at a church, there's all kinds of ways to do that. And it doesn't take a whole lot of time even to look around and see the different ways that churches do this. There's books. I have many books on my shelf that tell us different ways that you can grow your church and reach your area. And it's great to have different strategies. It's great to think through different ways of doing things. But certain things should only be done certain ways. And when it comes to winning, especially when it comes to advancing the kingdom of God, we need to make sure we're doing it God's way. It's done God's way. And that's really what Joshua chapter 6 is about. It's about doing things God's way. Winning God's way. So let's look at Joshua chapter 6. You're familiar with the story. We're going to read the first several verses, and then we're going to dive right in. Joshua chapter 6, verse 1. Now Jericho was shut up inside and outside because of the people of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, "See, I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all the men of war, going around the city once. Thus shall you do for 6 days. Seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns before the ark. On the seventh day you shall march around the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. And when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, when you hear the sound of the trumpet, then all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city will fall down flat. And the people shall go up, everyone straight before him." So Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said to them, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and let 7 priests bear 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Ark of the Lord." And he said to the people, "Go forward, march around the city, and let the armed men pass on before the Ark of the Lord." And just as Joshua had commanded the people, the 7 priests bearing the 7 trumpets of ram's horns before the Lord went forward, blowing the trumpets with the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord following them. The armed men were walking before the priests who were blowing the trumpets, and the rear guard was walking after the ark while the trumpets blew continually. But Joshua commanded the people, "You shall not shout or make your voice heard, neither shall any word go out of your mouth until the day I tell you to shout. Then you shall shout." So he caused the ark of the Lord to circle the city, going about it once, and they came into the camp and spent the night in the camp. Let's pray. Lord God, we come to give you praise and thank you for this day. We thank you for your work, your grace, your blessing that is with us now, that has brought us here. We thank you that this is a time, a sacred time, that this is a time that you're at work. And so, Lord, we commit our hearts, our lives to you now. We pray, we ask, we invite your Spirit to search us, to take your word as a spotlight into our hearts. We pray that you would bless us and do your work amongst us. For we love you, Lord. We praise you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Winning God's way. Well, the past couple of weeks, I know you've all been very excited. Our sermons have consisted of 2 points instead of 3. And it saved us some time. Well, today we only have 1 point, so imagine the time we're saving. 1 point today. And the point is that we as the church, this is number one, It's really not number one. It's the only point. We work by faith. We work by faith. That's the calling. That's winning God's way. Very simply, work by faith. And notice what we see in this passage. I love verse 1. It opens up. It just gets right into it. This is the scene. Now remember, chapter 6, verse 1 follows from what happened at the end of chapter 5. So as you read this, originally there were no chapter divisions. So as you were reading this, remember we talked about it last week, Joshua had this encounter with the commander of the armies of the Lord with a drawn sword. Remember that? And he fell down and he worshipped him. And so we saw how this is clearly a theophany, an encounter with the presence of God, but more specifically, a Christophany. It's a pre-incarnate Christ. And that's who Joshua encountered. He encounters Jesus there standing before him. And so, verse 1, this is still Joshua's encounter with Jesus on the plains outside of Jericho, looking at the city. And so, verse 1 for us says, Jericho. Jericho was a fortress, and it was shut up tight. That's verse 1. It's shut up. It's closed. Their gates are closed. They're on guard. They're on lockdown. No surprise attack. No one's coming in. No one's coming out. And by the way, it's because you guys are there. They know you're here. They know it. Everything is locked down. And the people of Jericho are settled in. They've taken their precautions. They've shut the gates. They've sealed the doors. And they're settled in behind the gates for whatever Israel may have in store for them. All right. Now, this is difficult, but this is what I want to try to do with you. I want to try to give you the impression of how bad that is. We don't think that way. One of the reasons we don't think that way is because we know this story. You've heard it. You've sung songs. There's videos of vegetables acting this out. You can watch online. When you hear that the walls are shut up tight, you go, psh, yeah, okay. You keep going. No, when you hear the walls are shut up tight, you should go, whoa. We don't think much of walls. Walls aren't a serious means of defense against an invading army anymore. Ever since the airplane was invented, an explosive ordnance had actually developed into something that was usable and shootable, walls haven't been that much of an obstacle. I mean, they still use them, but they're not like the main thing. But what you need to understand is that for centuries, a wall was your number one defense. In fact, many walled cities still remain. Look at this one. This is Pingyao. Pingyao is a city in China. The walls still remain. Those walls are just over 40 feet tall. So imagine walking up to that army, you and a shield and a spear. And imagine the guy on the wall, him and his big rock. He's doing okay. This wall has 72 watchtowers. This wall is about 4 miles long. But there's many others. There's still walled cities in Europe, in France, in England. The castles are known for this, right? They build the big walls because this is the number one way to keep people out. Now, Jericho's walls, if you looked at them from where Joshua is standing, if you looked at the walls of Jericho, it would have looked a lot like this. Those walls would have looked 40 feet high. Now remember, what year is this? It's like 1400, 1300 BC. Not a whole lot of technology. Now the walls of Jericho really were a series of walls. There was an outer wall which went up probably about 20 feet, and then behind that there was a bank. In fact, people actually lived on this bank. And then there was a higher up, there was another wall. And so when you looked at them from like where Joshua is, it looked like one giant wall. But as you got closer and studied, there's really two walls to keep people out. In other words, when you read verse 1, you should go, whoa. That's a big deal. That's not a small deal. That's a huge deal. Jericho is shut up tight. In fact, 1,000 or so years after this. So think of 1,000 years of military advancement, advancement in technology. 1,000 years later, the most powerful nation in the world was Rome. Rome decided to attack Israel. This happened in 70 AD. And so they marched out legions and legions to come against Israel. Israel, guess what? Had walls. A lot like that. About 40 feet high. And with legions and legions of Roman soldiers who brought siege machines. Machines built specifically to attack walls. Big catapults and trebuchets. Giant catapult and battering rams. They came prepared to attack this wall. It took them 4 months to just breach the outer wall. 4 months. That's 1,000 years after this. Listen to me, people. When you read verse 1, Jericho was shut up inside and outside. It is telling you this is impossible. This is impossible. Let's say a military strategist might say, okay, it's not impossible, but it's certainly improbable with these Israelites. Yeah, we have over 1 million of them. You don't have over 1 million fighting trained soldiers. You have no war machines. You have no catapults. It's improbable. This is the situation of verse 1. But what verse 2 tells us. That's why, see, you need to understand the improbable, impossible verse 1 so that you get the weight of verse 2. Because what verse 2 is telling the Israelites, what verse 2 is telling you this morning is that what confronts you is not what should control you. What confronts you is not what should control you. Yeah, but you don't understand how big it is, how impossible it is, how improbable it is. That's not what should direct you. That's not even what should be guiding your emotions. No, there's something else. Because look at what verse 2 says. And the Lord said to Joshua, see? What does Joshua see right now? What does Joshua see? He sees a walled city. He sees an impossible, maybe hugely improbable task. See? Look at it. See? But what is Joshua supposed to see? He sees the walled cities. He sees the exact same thing we just described, right? The exact same thing. They're shut up. They have their walls. They're safe and secure inside. Look at the exact same thing, but what do you see when you look at it? I have given Jericho into your hand with its king and mighty men of valor. That's what you're supposed to see. That's what Joshua sees. That's what Joshua is supposed to see. Now, think about this. When would you see that? You would see it when the walls have fallen down. Okay, now I see that. God just did something amazing. We didn't touch that wall. The whole thing just fell. Now we can go on and just take the whole city. I now see it. No, this is before that. Joshua is supposed to see that the Lord has given Jericho into his hand, the imposing, the invincible, the impossible reality that stood before him was not the reality that was to guide their work. Now, the wall's real. I'm not saying it's not real. We're not trying to use and borrow some Middle Eastern philosophy. We're not saying that. We're not trying to deny what's real. No, that wall is real. But that's not the reality that's to guide their heart. The immense improbability of this mission, the conquering of this fortified city and the impossibility of it, that's real. But there's a greater reality. There's a greater reality that they're supposed to see, and the only way they could see it is by faith. You don't see it with your eyes, you just see it by faith. And remember, faith is a confident assurance in things that have not really come yet. It's really believing God's word. God said it, it's going to happen. I don't see it, it doesn't matter. God said it, it's going to happen. And that's faith. And with faith, they could see that this city is theirs. They were to, very simply, as we used to sing, they're to simply trust and obey. Trust and obey. That's working by faith. Working by faith is trusting and obeying. Trusting and obeying. Listen, two errors. There's two errors we fall into, the church falls into. When it comes to advancing the kingdom, when it comes to growing a church, when it comes to reaching your neighbors, when it comes to seeing the kingdom advance in your heart, here's two ditches. Two ditches we want to avoid. Number one, the name it and claim it ditch. God said it, I'm naming it, I'm claiming it, it's mine, it's a reality, and I'm taking it. No, that's not what Joshua does. Joshua doesn't just turn to his people and rally them by the indicative, hey, God said it's ours. He said he's given it to us. He doesn't just say that. So let's just march up to the front door. Name it, claim it. Hey, you guys are out. You guys don't understand. I've said this as God said it, I've said it. You got to get out. They don't do that. But number two, the other danger, that's maybe over-materialization. That's making these promises and the things of God, making them too material, making them too here and now in a way, making them about prosperity. But number two, the other danger is just as dangerous, and that's to over-spiritualize. That's to pray and wait. Joshua didn't over-spiritualize it. He didn't go to them and say, hey, look, God said that he's given us this city, so guys, let's just sit here and pray until the people in Jericho leave. Just keep praying. Do you see any U-Haul trucks? Not yet. Keep praying. Keep praying. Are they packing? No, they're not packing. Keep praying. And just pray and just wait. They didn't gather together in a prayer circle around Jericho and just pray. Now, we need to be a praying people. We believe in prayer. It's one of our pillars. But we don't just gather downstairs on Tuesdays and pray and that's it and wait. No, we work. We work by faith. This is what they did. They listened to all of the word. I have given you the city. Now you go have a parade once a day for 6 days. They worked. They worked by faith. They trusted. Listen, this is ridiculous. It is ridiculous. It is foolish what God tells them to do. I've actually read commentaries that try to make a strategy out of this. Oh, I see what they're doing. What they're doing is, this is a military strategy. No, it's not. It's just ridiculous. That's what it is. It's literally a parade. You guys watch the Rose Parade? Anybody watch that? You watch the big Thanksgiving Day parades? That's what this is. You're putting your military. I mean, how ridiculous. Can you imagine how maybe even frustrating it is? If you're one of the armed men of Israel, fighting, you're a soldier. All right, soldiers, we're going to line you up. Are you getting lined? You're ready. You're like, yes, we're going to take it. No, you're just going to march around in a parade. What, that's, we're just marching around? Yeah. Well, then why don't we stay home and send all the women and children to do this? It's just marching around. No, because notice he says specifically, the men of war, the armed men, they go in the front and they go in the back. What a waste. This is ridiculous. There's no war. There's no fighting going on. A parade every day. And so the first day, they get up, they do it. Look, we've seen God do some mighty things. He stopped the river. God's awesome. We're going to do the parade thing. They wake up early that morning. Wives are kissing husbands goodbye, right? All right, hey, we'll see you when you get home. Hope it goes well. Mwah. And they go off and they march around the city. And then they come home and the wife goes, how'd it go on? I mean, it went. There was some music. We marched. It was hot. I'm sweaty. Okay. Nothing else? Nope. Day two, same thing. Day three, same thing. Day four, same thing. Again, day four, can you imagine coming home? Wife, hey, what? It's been 4 days? What happened? I mean, Steve tripped. It was hilarious. I mean, Paul couldn't find his horn, so that took us like, we had to wait an hour before we started for that. But same thing, just parade. We just marched around. This is useless. It's useless. It's ridiculous. It's absurd. And remember, the Israelites are like, why are we doing this again? Nothing's happening. We did this yesterday. We did it the day before. We've done it over and over, but nothing's happening. Listen to me, church. Listen, believer. Listen, this is the way the Lord works. This is how He works. If you haven't caught on to this, you haven't paid a whole lot of attention to your Bible. This is how God works from Genesis to Revelation. He works in weird, foolish ways. The older, the firstborn is supposed to get double honor. The firstborn is supposed to inherit everything. But over and over again in Scripture, the firstborn messes everything up. And it's the secondborn. And sometimes the secondborn is an idiot. And you're like, God, what are you doing? This is how He works. Our work is not accomplished. The kingdom is not advanced in our lives according to common convention. That's just not how it works. We can learn some things from the business world. We can learn some things from marketing experts. Look, I get it. I learn it. I listen. I want to do things with excellence. Why do I want to do things with excellence? Marketing people tell you you need to, especially in the United States of America. If we were doing this church, if we were doing it in Nigeria, we wouldn't care about starting on time. We wouldn't care about everything looking good. But we're in the United States, so we can learn some things. But our strategy, our method, our behavior should be ridiculous to those around us. And maybe even to you. It should be a little bit like, I'm doing this again. We've done this. Prayer meeting? I've been to prayer meetings. Nothing. We pray, we look, nothing happens. It's useless. It's ridiculous. It's God's way. And if you're going to win, you're going to win God's way. In fact, the greatest act of foolishness, the most ridiculous thing God ever did, was crushing His only Son. But it solves a riddle. There's a riddle in God's Word. There's this riddle. As you read God's Word, you see God who is loving and who is gracious, and you see God who is holy and punishes wickedness, and you celebrate those two things until you start thinking about your own heart, and then you start getting terrified. Listen to me. This is Exodus 34. This is a scripture that these people already heard long before. It says, The Lord, it's twice. The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Right now, listen, brother, sister, are you not going, yes, amen, that's my God? Listen, it continues. But who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and the children's children to the third and fourth generation. Right now, you should be shaking in your pants. This is the riddle of the Old Testament. God promises to be loving and merciful and long-suffering and forgiving, and He promises to punish the wicked. And we say, wait a minute. I'm wicked. What is God going to do? Well, God does things in seemingly ridiculous ways. So He sends His only Son to be holy like you're supposed to be. And then he punishes his only son for your sin. He puts it on him. That way God upholds his justice. I am holy and I am just. And I will punish the wicked. And he will. It's just he punishes his son for it. There's punishment. Punishment will be dealt out. Jesus receives that. So that we, by faith, what do you mean? You just trust him? You just say, okay, God, you did it. I'm yours and you're my Lord and you repent of your sins and you're saved? That's it? What do you mean, that's it? Yeah, that's it. That's stupid. Yeah. But that's how God works. Paul in 1 Corinthians says it's foolishness. It's foolishness to the Greeks. And the Jews, they don't like it anymore. But that's how God works. Now listen to me. We've been talking about advancing this kingdom. And hopefully over time you've heard me say that for the kingdom to advance in our community, it must advance in our hearts. The kingdom must advance in your heart if we're going to see it really advance in our community. And even as you begin to ponder that, I hope right now you're thinking, yes, the kingdom has to advance in my heart before it advances in my community and through me. You're already thinking about some areas of your heart that the kingdom doesn't seem to have much progress. You're already beginning to think, kind of like Joshua on the plains of Jericho, I look at my heart and I see some sin that just like the walls of Jericho will not move. And I've tried and I've cried and I've repented and I've asked for prayer and it stays there. I mean, have you ever felt yourself repenting for the same thing? And sometimes I hear Christians even lamenting this, like even complaining about it. You know, my heart, it just won't change. Why am I this way? I want my heart to change, but the walls of lust and pride and bitterness and anger and selfishness and resentment and covetousness, they remain. They're just there. Or sometimes I've even heard something worse, supposed Christians just kind of shrugging their shoulders and saying, you know what, I've always been this way. I'm never going to change. Can't teach an old dog new tricks. You can if you introduce them to Jesus Christ. You can. What seems to be insurmountable, what seems to be impossible in your heart, in your life, is only overcome God's way. So trust and obey and work by faith. Work by faith. It seems ridiculous. Work by faith. Yeah, but I've done it. I've done it. I've done the prayer. I've done the scripture reading. I've been to the church service. It doesn't change. Like day one, day two, day three, day four. Marching around the city. Nothing seems to change. Keep doing it. Keep doing it. It seems ridiculous. God's word promises us this. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says that we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. This comes from the Lord. As you behold the glory of God, you are transformed from one degree to another degree. From one degree to another, as you behold the glory of God in Jesus Christ. So listen, church, I tell you, we want to advance the kingdom in our community. I'm telling you, let's first advance the kingdom in your heart, and you do that by repenting. Repenting. Yes, repenting. Yes, you. Repent. If right now you think, I don't know that I have anything to repent of, may I suggest you don't know yourself very well? Repent. Pray, pray, meditate on Scripture. Increase your vision, your understanding. Increase the image, the thoughts that come to mind when you think of God, when you think of Christ. Repent, pray, trust, read, meditate, pray, repent, meditate, trust, read, obey. I mean, that's, I just over and over. Yeah, but I did that yesterday and nothing changed. Okay, do it today. Yeah, but I've done it today. Nothing's changed. You do it. Just do it. It seems ridiculous. It seems useless. Yeah, it does. But this is God's way. This is God's way. This is how God works. This is how we win, by doing the faith work. We do the faith work. Too often people, they want to change. They want to grow. They want to be holy. They just don't want to do the work. And I get it, right? I don't want to go to Gold's Gym. I want to lower my cholesterol. I want to lose some weight. But you know what I don't want to do? The work. I don't want to do the work. It's called spiritual disciplines. Meditating, reading the scripture, praying. It's called spiritual disciplines. Because you have to be disciplined at it. You have to do the work. You have to march. March around the city. Marching, you know what marching does? You know what the marching of the Israelites in Joshua chapter 6, you know what it did? It did nothing. It was useless. No, the marching proved their faith. That was the proof of their faith. Do you really believe that God's going to do this? Yes, I do. Left, right, left, right. I almost started going into cadence. That's not fun for anybody. Some of you have flashbacks. Marching demonstrates the trust. Do you realize how ridiculous it is that we are trying to grow a church in New Jersey in 2018? That is ridiculous. It's foolish. Can you imagine if NBC showed up at your house? Hey, we're doing a news story on things that are happening in New Jersey. Can you tell me what you're doing and things that are happening in New Jersey? You'd be like, don't mention the church. They're going to make fun of me. It's ridiculous. But that's what we're called to do. That's the work that we're seeking to do. And we believe Christ is building His church. So are we willing to do the work by faith? Just do the work. We're not going to just claim it. We're not just going to gather together and rally together and pump ourselves up. Christ is building His church. Christ is building His church. We've got some really great memes and pictures on Instagram. Christ is building His church. And then not do anything. We're not going to do that. We're not just going to gather downstairs and over-spiritualize it and just pray and pray. God, build Your church. Build Your church. We believe it. You've said it. You're doing it. And just that. We're not going to do that. We're going to work by faith. Work by faith. That's what we're going to do. We're going to go. We're going to march around the city. Not literally. We're not literally going to march around the city. But listen, go to your neighbor. Yeah, I've tried. I've gone to my neighbor. My neighbor doesn't like me. He's just like a liberal of liberals politically, and we can't have a discussion without him bringing up taxes, and it doesn't go well. It doesn't work. Talking to him is useless. It's useless. Is it useless? That's how God works. But you see, that's how God works. It's ridiculous trying to talk to Him. That's how God works. Get in there. He's going to make fun of me. Praise God. That's how the Lord works. Sow the seeds. Water them. Talk to your neighbor. Invite them over. Invite them to a picnic. Hey, we're having one next Sunday. You're like, no, I mean, our last conversation didn't go well. Okay. Go talk to them. Talk to them this week. Do it sooner than later, because their plans for next Sunday are going to be made pretty quick. Do it sooner than later. Do it today or tomorrow. Go talk to them. Ask if you can pray for them. Pray. I can't mention pray. Yeah, you can. You mean we're just gonna talk to people? Wait a minute, we called you to lead us to replant this church and relaunch and revitalize, and your brilliant idea is talk to people? Yeah. Yeah, show and share the love of Christ. Yeah. We're going to work by faith, and we're going to show and share the love of Christ one day, one step, one circle around the city after another. Anything happen today? Nope. Talk to a friend. Hey, how'd church go? Well, good. How was the attendance? It was down a little bit. That's just one lap. This is just one lap. So attendance is down a little bit. So keep doing it. Right? Win by faith. Believe. Go. Engage. March. March. Do the spiritual disciplines in your life. Do them. Do them. So this is what I want to do right now. I want you to think of a stronghold in your life, in your heart. Think of an area in your life that you've prayed for God to take away. It's a sin that you seem to oftentimes repent of. Think of it like this. It's the spiritual weed in your heart. You know what I mean with the weeds? You pull them up, you get rid of them. Ha ha! Flower bed looks amazing. And then 2 weeks later, there it is again. Think of that. Think of that wall. And what we're going to do is by faith, we're going to work right now. We're going to work right now. Because when we celebrate the Lord's Supper, this is what I want you to realize. When we celebrate the Lord's Supper, we're celebrating the work of God, the ridiculous, foolish work of God to save and to ransom and to rescue sinners like me and like you. And we're freed. We're freed from slavery to sin. You're free from it. It doesn't feel like it. I don't care what it feels like. The reality is you are free from it. And so as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together today, we're going to be mindful. We're going to be mindful of that wall of sin and temptation in our hearts. And we're going to trust the Lord's given it. The Lord's given us victory. The Lord's given us victory. Yeah, I've thought that before. I don't care. We're doing it again. This is what we're doing. This is winning God's way. This is winning God's way. And we're going to believe Christ building this church as we work by faith, right? As we work by faith. So first, join me in prayer as our volunteers come forward to serve the Lord's Supper. Join me in prayer. Father God, we do praise you. We thank you for the salvation, the victory that is ours in Christ. The utter foolishness that you have saved us. That you crushed your only Son. And that as we look around, the reality that we see is not the greatest reality. And so, Father, we pray for eyes of faith, hearts of faith, believing, seeing it. Help us to see it, that you have given us victory over sin in our lives. Help us to see it, that by faith we can work it out and live it. And help us as a church, even as we look around and see empty seats and empty pews, there's a greater reality. Even though we look around and we see neighbors who are hardened and co-workers and family members who seem angry at God, the walls seem so high, so high. God, help us to see and believe. Victory is in you. So let us just work by faith. The people of Israel really fought no battle in chapter 6. You did. Help us trust you to fight the battle. And just work by faith. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.